title of the sermon is this: Stick to itiveness. Yeah, it's really a word, by the way. The definition is it's a noun, and it means dogged perseverance, dogged resolute tendency, tenacious, I mean. Also written stick-to-itiveness, so that you see that it's made up of those words. The ability and determination to continue doing something despite what? Despite difficulties. In fact, you all know about Thomas Edison and how many times he failed before he succeeded. It's an incredible story. Here's a quote that they recorded and use often of Thomas Edison: the three great essentials to achieve anything worthwhile are hard work, stick-to-itiveness, and common sense. Folks, I want you to know this applies to us in a mighty way, and I'm going to make it very simple and plain by making one point today from the book of Revelation. Before I do, I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, before I approach the sacred desk, I need your Spirit to speak through me, to share the words and the thoughts that you have ordained to be presented, so that we will be the kind of Christians and practice stick-to-itiveness. So use me in spite of me. And when we're done, Lord, let everyone be able to say, we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. Now let the peace of heaven rest on this sanctuary, Lord, and keep Satan away, so we can receive the thought that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stick-to-itiveness. Dogged perseverance. Do you know John wrote seven letters to seven churches in the book of Revelation? The first one, part of it says to the church of Ephesus, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Revelation 2:7. In the second letter to the second church, Smyrna, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:11. I heard an amen, and there should have been a bunch of those. To the third church, Pergamos, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written. And to the fourth church, the church of Thyatira, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and I will give him the morning star. Revelation 2:26 and 28. To the fifth church, John wrote, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot their name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Revelation 3:5. To the sixth church, Philadelphia, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in my temple, in the temple of my God, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I will write on him my new name, Revelation 3:12. And to the final church, the church of Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my Father's throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. We could go into a very exhausting look at all the words in this section of the letters. By the way, this is the end of every letter, but there's one thing that stood out to me that's pertinent to our Christian walk today, the society we're living in, and it has to do with stick-to-itiveness. For let's look at this. First of all, notice that John wrote to seven churches. Now, in the book, in the Bible, seven is complete. That means there's no eighth church. That we're going to march right to the seventh church. That's the final church that will be in existence. Number two, notice that these were seven real separate churches at the time of John's writing. But I find something else very interesting that works into this stick-to-itiveness, and that is that they also represent the seven periods that make up the Christian history from the first century till the second coming of Jesus Christ. Take a look at this. Ephesus means desirable. The first century church that grew and prospered and just developed incredibly. And at the response of Satan's fear and anxiety, we have the second church, Smyrna, which means fragrance when crushed. That's very interesting. The second church, Smyrna, was the one that suffered persecution under the Caesars until 313 A.D. And then comes the third church, Pergamos, and it's called Raised Up City, and it turns out to be the compromising church. That period of time is 313 to 538. And by the way, just I don't have the time. I want to make this specific and focused. 313 is when Constantine decided that he's going to make the Christian church the church of the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire. And ever since that happened, the church began to decline greatly. And then we come to the fourth church, Thyatira, and that means that which remains, and that was the Reformed church, the corrupt church, 538, the development of the papacy. And then the church really became corrupted. Then comes Sardis, which means that which remains. That was the Reformation church. And by the way, during that period of time, millions of individuals were murdered for believing what the Bible taught instead of what was being told them to believe. And then we come to Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, and that's the Awakening Church. And that period of time is around 755 to 1844. And then we come to the last church, the Laodicean church, which means judging the people. The last church. God is coming. And God is judge. And that's today's church from 1844 to the end. And so I want you to notice what Jesus is telling us through John. And that is all seven churches in the letter says to him that what? To him that what?
Overcomes.
Nikao is the Greek word. It is a verb. And it means to subdue. Or literally, or both literally and figuratively, conquer, overcome, prevail, get the victory, And finally, it got through to my head that there is a problem. Every period of the church was warned to stick to itiveness. Why? Because Satan will bring as much pressure upon the believers of God in every period of time to give up and to quit, to back down and to fear, to be anxious and to sell out to cultural pressures. Man, we could go back to that slide that showed the seven churches. You see the progression. The church did so well in the first century that Satan counterattacked and decided, why don't we just start letting the lions eat them in the Colosseum, and maybe that'll stop this movement from happening. That didn't work. So he changed his tactics and he decided, well, let's try to corrupt them and to entice them to compromise. Folks, I'm telling you, all seven churches were warned to overcome. And that tells me point blank. That tells me plainly that throughout history, in both the Old Testament time as well as the New Testament time, God's had to encourage His people to overcome because He knew they would be severely tested to give up or to compromise. If you think I'm off, and I know you don't, the Jewish people rejected Jesus in the flesh. How did that happen? Because He prepared them in advance to not recognize Jesus when He appeared. They were looking for something entirely different. He's doing the same thing right now. Because, see, Jesus is coming the second time. But what the Bible teaches is before He comes the second time, Satan is going to show up and come on the earth and start doing miracles and saying things. Oh, man. 6 billion people on this planet, and most of them are worshiping idols. God raised up the Christian church and the Seventh-day Adventist church to break through to those people, and now they outnumber us overwhelmingly. And they're all Jesus' children. He loves them just as much as He loves us. But the temptation before we get to our responsibility is giving up or giving in. And so every church, every single one, He says to him who overcomes, Nikao, to not give up, to persevere, to stick to itiveness, even in the face of great adversity, even in the face of pressure. You know, this is, even in some households, this is true. One is more committed than the other. And there's pressures to conform. And by the way, I don't mean be these robots that are made out of metal. I'm talking about being real, true, faithful, blood, flesh, and bones Christians that take these beautiful truths of the Bible and present them in a loving way to help others see that there is a God in heaven who is coming soon. We have to make a choice. Remember, I told you a couple weeks ago that my unintellectual assessment is we've got four generations or more of college kids and university kids that have gone to public universities and told how stupid religion is, how there really isn't a God, or if He is, He's not interested in us. And by the way, the Bible was a bunch of fireside stories told around fires from escaped slaves from Egypt that they finally decided after many years to write down, and by now they're all perverted. Not the people, the writings. And where are we as a country? I'll show you where we are. I'll show you why we've got to persevere. Gallup released the findings of their annual values. I spelled that wrong, didn't I? I knew that wasn't right. Values and Belief Survey, May 2017. Here it is. Support for birth control, 91%. Divorce rate, it's okay, 73%. Premarital sex, 68%. Gambling, 67%. Same-sex relationship, 63%. Having a baby outside of marriage, 61%. Pornography, 36% of the people think it's okay. And those that hold creationist view, 38%. Are you telling me there isn't pressure out there? By the way, we're sending our kids to schools. That's why the church is here. Did you see all the kids up here for the children's story? We've got to protect them. And notice, I didn't say let them be ignorant. We got to protect them. We've got to provide all kinds of activities to keep them engaged. So as they get older and begin to think for themselves, and they're going to be confronted by friends and peers who say, oh, there's no, that's not a big deal. Oh, that really doesn't matter. And the Bible explicitly says no. So our kids should be packed in the Sabbath school, Pathfinders, Adventurers, our church schools. Because they're being hammered out there. Society has our kids longer than we do once they start going to school. During the day, I'm saying. Because the bulk of that time, they're sleeping. And when they come home, how many of us parents don't want to get to bed, will you? Well, maybe none of you said that. I did. Get to bed. I want some peace and quiet. I'm really worried, folks. I'm telling you, seven letters, perfect number. After seven, there's no eight. Every single one, which covers the whole age of the New Testament church, we were told to him that overcomes. Because God recognized that the temptation will be to give in. And what's the only way we can do it? What's the only way? A real, live, honest-to-goodness, daily devotional life. In your Bible, on your knees, in prayer, every day. Making sure that what you believe, you understand. Because when you leave, you're going to be confronted by people who don't believe the way you do, even other Christians, and they will try to undermine you because, listen to this, they're friends of yours, right? But who's behind it? Who's behind it? Satan is behind it. And if they're not aware of what we're aware of, he'll use whoever he can, and who better to use than a friend? And Judas ran up and kissed Jesus. And so, my friends, I have a real concern for me. But I also do for you. If this wasn't so serious, it wouldn't have been in all seven churches. But it was. Because Satan is angry, especially now, because Jesus is coming soon. Hey, I want to check this out. Are you ready for this test? Whose famous silhouette is that? Don't tell. Don't say it. Oh no, did I lose the paper? Oh. Panic time. Where is it? Oh no. Please, Lord, how did I lose it? Oh, wait. It's on the back. Who is this person? As a young man, he went to war as a captain and returned as a private. Afterward, he was a failure as a businessman. As a lawyer in Springfield, he was too impractical and temperamental to be a success. He turned to politics and was defeated in his first try to the legislature, again defeated for his first attempt to be nominated for the Congress, defeated in his application to be a commissioner of the General Land Office, defeated in the senatorial election of 1854, defeated in his effort to be vice presidency in 1856, and defeated as the senatorial election of 1858. About that time, he wrote a letter to a friend, "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human race, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth." You know, do I tell who that is? Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States. Those unusual qualities, if you don't have them, then my prayer is you spend time with Jesus and He will give them to us. Stick-to-itiveness. Father in heaven, I thank you for the challenge of the hour. I thank you for also making it plain to us, a simple presentation, that this is serious and we need to be serious. For Lord, if we give in, then who out there will have an anchor to reach for? I want you to bless everyone in this sanctuary today. And I want you to help each person make some kind of decision before they walk out the door. And Lord, you have a personal intimacy with each one of us. You know what that is. That might not even relate to the sermon. But we've got to make a decision. We've got to be resolute. So make that happen, Lord, so that we can be ready to see you in the clouds of glory returning to take us home. But we can be standing by all of those relatives and friends that we helped to also be ready, so your kingdom will have more and more people, children of yours, throughout eternity, to sing praises to you and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.